Lord, Springfield Church. Thank you for service-filled leadership. Thank you for vision-minded membership. Thank you for the work of discipleship. Thank you for the outreaches today. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for the new month. We are grateful for everything all around us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want every cell leader here to take attendance of cell members that are around and those who are not around. So we're going to commence. We'll commence the taking of our attendance right from today. Are we there? Every time we have workers meeting, workers training, workers fellowship, workers conference, we'll take attendance of those meetings. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be using the attendance, just like in your schools. Your attendance is used in your schools. We're going to be using attendance. One of the things I shared with us about 2-3 years back is that the greatest virtue of any servant of God is what we call availability. That's the greatest virtue. So, you know, we have to be available. Some of us have mastered how to be available even in ill health. The moment you are ill or you're sick, and you're trying to get us to see that you are actually sick, and so you are not going to be able to do something, then the best response of the leadership is to allow you. But some people have been able to master availability, even in ill health, you know. They won't tell you they are sick. They'll just show up. Praise God. Praise God. You know, so in our last meeting, I began to share with us. I was sharing my thoughts, you know, actually with us. And I couldn't really discuss much. We couldn't discuss much on what we were going to, what we were touching on. On the service of faithfulness, praise God. And I want to get back into it this evening. Only that, yes, I had to leave us around 10 o'clock last time. As much as I really don't want to keep us back here till that late, sometimes we just have to, you know, leave here at those times. So I was just searching my heart, and I observed that I still had some thoughts along the same line. So I'll talk to us again around that, and then I'll get back into my notes. I have a time frame of what to share with us. Praise God. I put something out on the church platforms some a week ago, actually a week and a day ago. And I was talking about us not, the post was actually addressed to leaders, those of us who have teaching functions in the church. And the admonition was to not fall into the deceit of responsibility, where responsibility makes us, you know, play down on a culture of growth. You must master how growth happens, and no matter how high you go, in serving, we must endeavor to be conscious of the tools for growth. Praise God. I said particularly that we can never outgrow taking God's word into our private moments. Praise God. Taking God's word into our private moments. You know, and particularly when we have the task, the duty of teaching. When we are tasked with teaching. When we are tasked with teaching God's people, then, you know, the taking God's word into our private moments becomes much more crucial, because there's a tendency of getting busy with teaching. Sometimes it's just a deceitfulness of the fact that you know what is being said. Now, some of us, if I give you the mic right now and I say to exhort us, like I said, we're going to be doing, these moments are also meant to receive from one another. I could call Sister Esther, for example, that will give you the mic. She's just exhort us. Yes. Exhort us. That's what this atmosphere exists for. This group, let me use that word, these are workers in church. That means I can expect as a pastor that you are going to have words about the Holy Ghost to strengthen the church. You know, the apostles say in Acts 6 to look for 7 men, he says, of honest report, full of wisdom, and what? And the Holy Ghost, who we may appoint over this business. That means, even when it comes to the natural responsibilities in the church, the men upon whom those responsibilities go to expected to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I shared with you already the concept of being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time feeling. The way the apostles taught being filled with the Spirit is not something that happens once. One, two, it's not something that happens to you as much as it is what you do. So, full of the Holy Ghost means he gets filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, Paul will say something like, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. One of the things you see in that text, when it says, be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit, it refers to what you do. The same way you take wine, you are the one that takes the wine. So the subject of that instruction is the believer. The believer is the subject. You know, it looks like the believer is the object, but the believer is actually the subject of that instruction. It says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Earlier on, it says to walk circumspectly, not as wise, but as, not as fools, rather, but as wise. Thank you. Walk circumspectly. So, the believer is the subject. You are the performer. So when he says, be not drunk with wine, you are still the performer. It has to do with what you do to yourself. Then he says, be filled with the Spirit. So be filled with the Spirit is what I do to myself. That's why he says in Colossians 3:16, he then says, singing. He says, singing with grace in your heart. He says, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. It says to sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So those texts has to do with what you do. In my name shall they speak in other tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. So it has to do with what you do. Casting out devils has to do with what you do. They shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover has to do with what you do. What you do. They shall take up serpents if they drink. So the believer is the subject of those instructions. It says to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says to pray, 17, without ceasing. Again, it says to rejoice forevermore. It says to give thanks always in all things. It says to despise not prophesying. despise not prophesying. If any man speaks in a new tongue, speaks not unto men, but unto God, he speaks. He says, for how is it, brethren? I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with your understanding also. He says, praying always with all supplication and prayer in the Spirit. But you, beloved, building your own selves, he says, Jude 24, building yourself, 20 rather, he says, on your most holy faith, he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Lay aside all malice, 1 Peter 2:1. He says, a clamor, evil speaking. He says, a heaviness. He says, but desire, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that he may grow thereby. Are we together? James will say to be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. So those are action words. There are things that we do. The things we do. So when he says in Acts 6:4, men who are filled with the Holy Ghost, he wasn't talking about men who has opportunities. Rather, he's talking about people who create opportunities. People who create opportunities to be filled with the Holy Ghost. How do I create opportunities to be filled with the Holy Ghost? So like that, Dominion will call me, oh, today is Friday again, I'm going to prayer. She's been doing that for months. She will go and spend 5-6 hours praying. For months. That is creating opportunity. Some other of us, we have such opportunity, rather use it to take it on seasonal movies, or we take it on other things in the name of being busy. There are other people here also that Friday, where's Buffet? He has not ceased. For months, he will go out, go as far as in the campus for months, and then he will take that a particular day of the week, so that I could almost predict, like I was in Ibadan yesterday. I went there yesterday, I came back again same day, and then I remember when I was back, I just asked, I said, did you fulfill that task you were supposed to carry out? Because every week you do that. Every week, at that same time, you will do it. And there are many other people like that here. I know there was a time Brother Kulia would be in this auditorium, he prayed for like 3 months every day, for 5-6 hours, every day, vigil, every day, every single day, praying here for months. For 5-6 hours over the night, despite how rigorous his day was. So, those are men full of the Holy Ghost. So, it has to do with, so it's not saying men who has opportunity, remember, start victorious, the same thing. So, it's not referring to men. There was a time also you two, that's what I said, would go out, was it Friday or what day of the week was that? Friday, the early hours of the day, and then for hours. In fact, there were times when I had things to do in school, and as I just drove by, I could spot from the spot. Different times, and I wasn't going there for that purpose. I just observe at that same time, at that same place, at that same moment of the week. So, and well, the truth of the matter is that, as a pastor, it shows me that there's a work of the Spirit in the church. And I don't want to explore that part of the conversation, but that is what Paul meant, or that was what Peter meant when he says men that are full of the Holy Ghost. It means to create opportunities. I will create opportunities. I will create opportunities. I will create opportunities. So it's not referring to men who have opportunities. Rather, it refers to people who create the opportunities. Are we together? For example, special meetings in our church is us creating opportunities. We create opportunities. So, how many opportunities should we create? As many opportunities as possible. The believer must learn to create as much opportunities as possible. Opportunities to be refreshed. What does it mean to be refreshed? Refresh means, look at this. That word refresh means to restore what is lost. That means, look at this, as we engage ourselves in our natural lives, we lose things. We lose things. Is it clear? We lose things. You only have to interact with humans. You are going to lose things. You begin to lose your edge, your sharpness in the things of the spirit. Because one says, why do I have to pray again if I have prayed? Because you get blunt. Paul will say the days are evil, so you need to redeem the time. And he says to redeem the time, you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That means the way I redeem the time is by creating opportunities to be filled again. It can be daily. Is it clear? It can be daily. I create opportunities to be filled again. So a Christian, a worker in church, ought to be spirit filled by creating opportunities. A couple in church must create opportunities. Brothers in church must create opportunities. Sisters in church must create opportunities. Leaders in the church must create opportunities. You also must teach your disciples how to create opportunities to be filled with the Holy Ghost. A meeting as we're having tonight, workers training, is actually us creating opportunities. Monthly retreats, which I instructed every worker in the church to hold every month, once every month, is creating opportunities. The units in the church, from the music to the ushering to the media, all technical works units and all that, welfare, all of these units have also moments. They have these monthly retreats where they create opportunities. Cell meetings and evenings are also creating opportunities. Workers' conference, creating opportunities. Keeping the apostolic tradition is creating opportunities. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, are we together? Is Thursday evening is also creating opportunities. So how many opportunities do I create? How often do I create opportunities? I create those opportunities as often as possible. I create opportunities to be filled of the Holy Ghost, to be full of the Holy Ghost, or to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I create opportunities. So a Christian should endeavor to create opportunities. It could be once a week to create an extended opportunity. Oh, sure, your morning devotions, early morning devotions, or late night devotions are also moments of creating opportunities. As I was talking to someone some days ago, who does not sing during the work, a morning devotion? I was talking to the person, what do you do in morning devotion? Then the person stated the activity. I said, there's something that is missing. Where is the place of ministering the Lord? He said, I just did that once a while. I quickly told the person, I said, I will remove you from your unit, because the person was a member of music team. A member of music team, and you do not sing in your morning devotion, then you should not be in the church. That means you are not full of the Holy Ghost. You shouldn't be in the unit, rather. Not in the church, in the unit. Amen. We create those opportunities. So when Paul says to be full of the Holy Ghost, or when Peter and the apostles said, seven men of honest report, full of wisdom, he says, full of the Holy Ghost. It has to do with something you do consistently. Something you do consistently to create opportunities. That day of the week where you go out early in the morning. You are not back until midday. What are you doing? You are praying in the Holy Ghost. 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. Praying in the Spirit. That other day, late in the evening, you go out and you are there until daybreak. A vigil, praying in the Holy Ghost. Put your phones away, not distracted by Facebook, WhatsApp notifications, Instagram. Put your phone away. Get a good song around and pray in the Spirit for hours. Pray in the Spirit. Those are moments to pray about different aspects of your life. By now you see that the kind of prayers you need as a means of the gospel is not a 1 hour prayer. 1 hour prayer can't sort it for you. How many of you agree with that? That an hour prayer can't sort it for you. 2 hours prayer, I can't sort it for you. Just now. You don't yet have kids? Are we together? You don't yet have kids? You don't yet have several businesses you are managing? You don't yet have all those? Yet, right from now, you already observe that 2 hours prayer can't sort it for you. Like, the shortest moment, I'm not saying if you have less than that, you can't pray or it's not effective. I'm saying that the shortest time for you, the shortest, is about 3 hours. Because in those 3 hours, you can spend average of 45 minutes, four times. Are we together? 45 minutes, four times. So you can deal with something or four areas in 3 hours. And it's just, you're just touching on those areas. Because before you go deep into prayer, you observe that the time is elapsed. So you want to take some 6 hours to pray. 6 hours. And then you take your rest before you go to pray. So you are not tired out, struggling with sleep. You take an hour too before you go out to pray. You rest. You could go out fasting. You could go out. You could take a meal. And then you set a time. Then you go. You don't leave at the same time you have set out to pray. You go out so that before the time of prayer, you are already at the spot of prayer. The period you chose to pray meets you at the spot of prayer. Then you get there and then you pray. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You can deal with three areas in those 6 hours. You pray, you pray, you pray, you pray, and then you touch on the different aspects of those particular engagements. You touch on the different aspects. What are the different aspects of your ministry? The different aspects. You're looking at your followership. You're looking at those you're leading. You're talking about your disciples. You pray for them one after the other. Then you talk about your own revelation knowledge. You talk about your own growth in revelation knowledge. You talk about your own teaching ministry. You talk about your own walk with God, the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit in your life and your ministry. You talk about your own devotion life. You talk about your passion for the Lord. You talk to the Lord. I don't want my passion for you to wane. You're going to help me by your Spirit. You're going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. You pray. You pray. You talk about literally everything. Some of you, you're like, Pastor, I want to see you. And then when I give you the time to really touch on all the things on your mind, sometimes in 2-3 hours, we are not done talking. And you're the one doing the talk. You talk about this, and then you talk about this again, and then you talk about that area, but you find it difficult to stay in prayer for 30 minutes. Yet you want to talk to me for 3-4 hours. That means I am more real to you than the Lord, which is not supposed to be. It means I'm more real to you. You touch on the different aspects. We touch on the different aspects. You talk about you could go out and pray about your relationship. You can say, oh, this week 6 hours is on my associations and friendships and relationships. This week 6 hours. Then you want to talk about all kinds of relationships. Ministerial, non-ministerial. You talk about the neighborhood. You're praying about your relationships at work. You pray for your boss. You pray about your boss at work. You pray. Because Paul says in Colossians 4 that the reason why Epaphras was praying so fervently and consistently is so that the saints can stand complete in all the will of God in verse 12. So to stand complete in all the will of God, I said it means all of you in every area standing in the will of God. That means you need to touch on the various aspects. It's not a kind of things you do in a hurry. You can't talk to God in a hurry. That is how we are filled with the Holy Ghost. You're patient in prayer. You're patient in prayer. Sometimes as you are praying, the Lord will increase your burden. That what you're praying about gets to you more. Sometimes the Lord can lead you in prayer. The Lord begins to lead you in prayer. You come and then you're talking about something, and right there in the midst of prayer, you start having impressions on other areas to pray about. Why is the Lord leading you to pray in some areas? Why can't He just answer it for you, since He knows that you are going to pray? Because He does not pray for you. He does not pray in your place. You are the one to do the praying. So the Lord can lead us by His Spirit into what areas we should touch in the place of prayer. That's why you can't do it in a hurry. That's why you cannot be distracted. You have to put your phones away. You have to put your gadget away. You have to keep people away. Sometimes you have to go to a place where you're alone. You go to a solitary place. You go to a field. Sometimes you go on campus. You find a field around the chapel, and then you are praying for hours. Remove your wristwatch from your hand and keep your wristwatch in one corner where you can see from afar. Take time to pray when you have prayed for so long. You could go check your wristwatch. Check your wristwatch. Oh, I spent 2 hours. You put it back there again. You go back into that spot. You pray again. 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 Sometimes what I do is that I just take stones. I take stones. I put it in my pocket. I put stones in my pocket. The other time I did something like that was, I think, about 18 stones I put in my pocket. 18 to 20 stones. I just kept them in my pocket. Yeah, yeah. So every hour I take one, I throw away. By the time I took like the fourth or fifth one away, that's where I knew that I was in serious trouble. Because my pocket was still seriously heavy, and I was pressing like, oh God. But I knew I had to stay there. And I never left until I put my hand in my pocket and I threw the last stone away. When I took it away, I now started feeling guilty that I really going. And I decided, okay, I'll still go into now pray more. And one of the things that prayer did to me that day or those times was that it broke me. I love the sense of hurry, 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 hurry when it comes to the things of God. Prayer teaches you patience. Someone told me some days ago that I am too calm. He said, Pastor, you are too calm. Yeah, because that's what prayer teaches me. You are completely broken. You are not. Yeah, because some of the things you are rushing to go and do, you get there and your time will be wasted there. If you have stayed back in prayer, you get there right on time. And everything will answer to you. Everything will answer to you. But you are in a hurry. In a hurry to get there. And let me get there. Then you are there. 2, 3, 4 hours, you are still waiting. Nothing. 5 hours, oh God. And then you left, you didn't even have your devotion because you won't hurry. I'm not talking about getting to places late, but I'm talking about fulfilling, you know, your spiritual responsibilities. Are we together, church? Quickly. The workforce is largely or arguably the strength, let me put it that way, of a local assembly. God has put you in the church to strengthen it. So that was what I was talking about last time. We must learn to value what we have. And do what? And do what? Focus on it. And what? Find out what it takes, or what you need to do, or what it requires to make it what? To make it strong. To make it grow. To make it effective. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I find out what it takes. Look at this. By now you ought to realize that the Word Life Believers Community Church is your church.
You know, the challenge sometimes is that, and I want you to listen to me if I get into my note. The challenge sometimes is that I'm talking about us here. I'm not even talking about what the general challenge can be. I mean us here. I'm speaking now based on what me have observed, based on my personal dealings. The challenge we have many times is that we have not been very much been part of building something great in our own lives. I'm talking about exposure. Praise God. Because look at this. Now, yesterday I met a man yesterday, and we're having a conversation. I didn't know it was a big shot. I left him before I knew that. What I said now, I was saying it like times 10 louder than the way I said it. In the car with a friend. Sorry. And I said it about, I must have said it about 20 times. If it was a big lesson for me, because later in the night, it humbled me. And this morning I've done something about it. I got up this morning and I've done something about it. I mean to myself. I sat myself down and I had to teach myself again. Whatever I did this morning, I even repeated it in the afternoon, after the outreach period. In the afternoon. Because I had to hurry out and then come back inside. Very short, shortly. Come back inside. And one of the things I was telling myself is, I was repeating myself. Not because I do that, but I had to repeat it to myself and say, great men don't have wings. I told myself that. I said, great men don't have wings. Great men don't have wings. Great men don't have wings. Great men. I was telling myself that. I was calling myself. And what I meant by that is, you are not likely going to see wings behind somebody that will tell you that that person is actually a big shot. Yesterday, I met a man yesterday that, I won't tell you where I met the person. Right. I met a man yesterday that I think he does about 15 things. And one of the 15 things he does, one, is that he is responsible for the CCTV installation of Access Bank worldwide. Worldwide. Now, I knew that after he had left my front. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean I regretted. No, I didn't. But I mean, I just got to, because he was now a friend of mine that was around me at that time that was telling me about him. Interestingly, the man walked up to me, right? He walked up to me where I was and he struck a conversation with me. He struck a conversation with me. So we now got talking. So we now discuss many other things. I wouldn't spoke to him about my business. We talk about religion, we talk about faith, we talk about politics, we talk about this. We now went into discussing cars. Because that was around the place where I was. There was an automobile, whatever, so his car was being fixed. So, but after we had discussed the whole thing, so I left. He waited back because his car was being worked on. That was around 7 p.m. yesterday. 7 or 7:30 yesterday. 7 or 7:30. You chatted me up.
When did I respond? I was just leaving. That was around what time? 7:30. It was 7:30. I was about leaving Ibadan yesterday. All right. So, after I had to leave, but he was still there, and then the mechanic was working on his vehicle. So, you know, so it was while I was hurrying to the park, a friend of mine had to drop me off, you know, because my car's not been on me. So he had to drop me off. So it was that my friend that was with me that was giving me his CV. Now he gave me his card, obviously. He gave me his card because we really spoke and all that. Now I'm going somewhere. So it was that my friend that was telling me that he does this. Like, he won that all these Access Bank all the Access Bank branches in Nigeria. I said, this is the card. He said he single-handedly fixes all the CCTVs and his boys. I was like, hey, we. I didn't know. Interestingly, he didn't tell me that one. He told me of many other things that he does, including vehicles and all of that. He spoke, we're discussing a particular work on my car, actually. So he was giving me his own idea of what I should do. So I told him I wasn't going to do that. That I already had what I was going to do, because what he asked me to do is going to cost me a lot more money and all of that. So, you know, so he was discussing my own opinion. I said that's also fine, that I should explain what I was discussing with him. So we're just chatting and all that. So he now mentioned, you know, along some lines, well, where I'm going is this. When I told him what I wanted to do on my car, that's the Hyundai, white Hyundai. When I told him what I wanted to do, he understood. He said I should explain to him. So I explained this, and this. So he made suggestions. And I told him, no, that wasn't what I was thinking about, because I'll explore that option and all that. So he now agreed that I should do what I wanted to do. But he now went deeper to give me more counsel about it. In fact, that was the first thing that opened me up. And all that. He was talking about the car engine and a number of other things. So I began to pay more attention to what he had to say. But the bottom line where I'm going is that he was able to contribute to what I was discussing about the car. Now he is not a mechanic, but I observed that, and this is where I'm going, he was a very exposed person. He's very exposed. So because of his exposure, he was able to give me hints, even some things that he didn't know I already knew. He was able to mention as caution that, hey, be careful of these guys. I knew everything. I read a lot about cars. A lot about cars. Yeah. So, but he's a very exposed person. And where I'm going is this. Your exposure goes a long way to affect your contributions. Is it clear? Your exposures goes a long way. And that's why you can't be shut out in the ministry alone. I mean, you can't say, oh, all I'm going to do in this life is just ministry. No. Even the things you do in the natural goes a long way to affect how effectively. Are you with me? Are we together? So, back to what I was saying, I said, the challenge many times is that a lot of us have not been so much involved in building large, magnificent, effective. You have not been so much involved in building big things. So, to a large extent, that level of exposure caps your effectiveness or your contributions. Is it clear? To the ministry. Now, don't miss what I'm saying. I'm not saying that for you to be a good minister, you have to be very exposed to the world. Mm-mm.
In fact, something as little as your something as simple as your attention. Or let me use the word your attention span. Because when you are building great things, there are great requirements. There are great requirements. To build great things, mighty great requirements or great things are required of you. You cannot be average. You can't give average time. You can't put average resources. Some with average resources. Some of the average resources. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, for example. You are trying to build a business. Oh. You're trying to build a business. Something that you expect to grow really, really big. Big as in you expect that you are going to employ staffs to handle part of your business for you. And your business is going to be recognizable outside the country. That when they mention the name, you know, you have businesses like Cousins. You have businesses like Blue Band. You have businesses like Yale, right? Yale. You have businesses like Nestle, thank you. Those are multi-billion dollar companies. So you're looking at building something. What's this fintech that was started in 2019 that has gone so viral now? MoneyPoint. MoneyPoint started in 2019, right? Yeah. They just started MoneyPoint. It's gone big. So, you know, you're trying to build something that is large. And then all you do is to give it 2-3 hours of your time daily. You're not going to do well. Because you are sleeping more than you are working on the business. Your work on the business has to be more than your sleep. Did you get what I'm saying? It's like someone that wants to write exam, and the report you're looking for in your exam, you're looking for something around, let's say UTME exam, you want to score something around 300. And all you do is that is just to read 2 hours every week. You are going to score 25. That's what you're going to score. You're going to score 80, 90. Because extraordinary input is what produces extraordinary what? Results. Are we together? Extraordinary what? Input is what produces extraordinary what? Results. Sister Precious here. Did you get what I said? Yeah. You have to do more. If you don't do more than the others, you're not going to have more than the others. And don't forget, like I said, I'm giving you culture, right? I'm not discussing outliers with you. I will never discuss outliers with you. I will discuss culture with you. That's a culture. That's a requirement. So, when you have built, or you are building, when you have built, or you are building something big, you observe that it will require some things from you. Amen. It will require what? Some things from you. Such that if you are going to do it successfully, it will require a particular magnitude of contributions from you. So, for somebody who has been involved in building something, successfully. Something mighty. Something massive. Successfully. For somebody who has been involved in building something effective, successfully, when that person is called upon,
are we together?
To contribute to another project, you are going to see a greater amount of contribution. You are going to see a more impactful contribution from that person into this new project than others that are in the same project but are not. So that's what I mean by exposure. Is it clear? Exposure. So I'm saying that many times the challenge with us is that very few of us have ever been part of something big in other areas. But you see, that doesn't have to be a disadvantage. It doesn't have to be a disadvantage. For example, I spoke about your attention. Attention. Sometimes you think that the level of attention that you are given to something is enough. Whereas, the level of attention you are given to something is not more than the level of attention that every other person who has failed at it has given. That means you are preparing for failure. It's not more. It's not more. It's not more. I was talking to a friend some weeks ago. I said, yes, I know that we're busy, we're engaged in our natural life because we walk around, we go around, try to make money, and then we also have a lot of, so there's a whole lot of things on our plate. And I'm talking about a pastor. I was talking to a pastor who is also, you know, a pioneering pastor. I mentioned around that last week. Are we together? A pioneering pastor. So I said, but look at this. If we are really going to examine and fulfill the demands of our call, I say, unlike the pastors, unlike the people that are pastoring under us, we have a responsibility. And I told him, I said, people like us do not pray less than 10 hours every day. He knew what I was saying. So he was calm and quiet. He was looking at me. He knew exactly what I was saying. Because he knew that what I'm saying is true. And he has not been praying for 10 hours. He couldn't even say that this is the last time that in this week I was on 10 hours dosage. That's what we call prayer. Dosage. It's a dosage. It's a dosage. 10 hour. Stretch. Couldn't say a whole week. So it was quiet. I said, for people like us, it's not about, I know there are people pastoring under us, it's fine. But a pioneering pastor. You won't spend less than 8 to 10 hours in prayer. Not study, prayer. So you are able to generate the kind of energy. Have you seen when dams are opened? Dams. When they are opened. When you open a dam. Have you seen before? I've seen it a couple of times. When you open a dam, you see the magnitude, the power with which the waters gush out. If there is a mansion in front of those waters, it will sweep it away. It will sweep it away. So those kind of prayers is able to, you will be able to generate a magnitude of spiritual power. That's why, I didn't plan to say this, but let me say this. One of your greatest, and look at me everybody, one of your greatest, one of your greatest goal in a ministry. I'm not saying this because it could or should be done unto me. But if I were in someone's church and I have to say this, I'll say it the same way. And I'll say it because that's how it is. It's a universal truth. One of your greatest goals in ministry is to support your pastor. That's one of your greatest goals. Yes. One of your greatest goals in ministry is to be the reason why your pastor is more focused. More focused on the ministry. Obviously, your pastor should be focused on the ministry. More focused. It's one of your greatest goals. I pray for him or her. Amen. Because many people do not know why they are in the church. I know you are in the church to grow spiritually. I know you are in the church to be healed. I know you are in the church to have your life built. Yeah, some people think that they are in the church to get married. The whole, because the kind of person I want to marry a God-fearing man, and they feel that the place to find a God-fearing man, a God-fearing brother, the place to find a brother that will not serve you breakfast, a week to wedding. Hey! Some people do that. I actually believe as a pastor that anybody who does that without a tenable reason, which basis is solely deceptive, a tenable reason for that should be deception. That is, you saw that you have been deceived for many years and many months. You have every right to call off the wedding, even if it's a day two. You have every right to. When you have been greatly deceived in a major area. By the person, of course, are you getting married? If it's a sister, you call off the wedding. If it's a brother, you call it off. They have been greatly deceived. What you expected is not what is. Hey! Person has lied to me. He told me he's a Nigerian. I discover he's a Nigerian. I did not pray to God that I will marry a Nigerian. I wanted to marry a Nigerian. And you call it off. But aside from deception, I actually believe that anybody that does that, we should tie rock on his neck. Not tell you the other part. I know you are wondering. And do what, sir? I will not tell you the other part. Because that is similar to murder. Heartbreak is terrible. Very, very terrible. It's so terrible it can lead people to go and commit suicide. I'm not saying that people that commit suicide is justified. I mean, it's very, very terrible. That's why if you are not going to marry somebody, don't tell them you will marry them. If you do, you are a murderer. You are not going to marry somebody. Don't profess love and say, I will marry you. You'll be the mother of my children.
My first son will have the nose of their father. It is your nose. That's the sister telling the brother. It is your nose that all my four sons are going to have. I like the shape of your forehead. That is how the shape of my first son is going to look like. So that when you are aware, just look at him and remember you. See lines. Don't do that. If anybody is caught, obviously, in the church, that knows what they are doing, immediately we just remove you from pastoring. Immediately. Remove you from pastoring. Immediately. Go back to membership class. Are we together? That's just a digression. Well, it's a good digression. So what was I saying? I said one of your greatest goals is to what? Because the reason I said that is because of what I wanted to say. That, look at me now. Many of the things you are looking for to become in the ministry is in the leader God gave. He's in the leader. The less focus he has, the farther your journey. Notice I said in the ministry, I'm talking from Joshua 1:8-0, the good success. Many of the things you're trying to become in the ministry, some of you, you want to pastor a church of 1,000 people. Does anyone want that here? Some of us did not raise up your hands. You might not have it. You might not have it. Praise God. Some of us wants to have an increased flow of the gifts of God, particularly healing gifts. I mean, you don't mind if they say, healing, no, it's that person. Healing gifts. Praise God. Some of us, we want deep pastoral wisdom. Ability to take hold of a church of 50 and in 2-3 years becomes 500 with different plantings, because this guy just he knows how to So when the church is struggling in South Africa, it says, the World Life Rivers Come Church, the Johannesburg is struggling. We say, how can we get Bros Sam to that place? I don't know which of the two Sams want it, but how can we get Bros Sam to that place? Hey! Because we know that if Bro the light can just enter the place, he knows what to do. All we just need to do is to make resources what? Available. Just tell people to look at what Paul said. Paul said it to the Romans church. He says that sister Phoebe, anything she needs, what? Give her. This one is a specialist. He will do the surgery to be successful. What other surgeons are running away from? He will perform the surgery. Just make sure that before he enters the theater, all the capels and the knives and the lights and the bulb and the anesthetics and the gloves and the lenses and the lights and the forceps, just make sure that everything he needs is already what?
He said, if you do the surgery successfully, specialist, ministry, wisdom. Wisdom is that you get to a place, then you call the leaders. What's the issue? This is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. Okay, have you, okay? Who is in charge of that? Okay, who does that? Okay, okay. So how often do you do this? Okay, okay. All right. Okay, so how much is in the account? Okay, we have so amounts for ministry in the account. Okay, where do we have our sales currently? Okay, how many sales do we have there? Okay, where are the churches we have here? Okay, can I have a map of the city? All right, put a pin on the places where we have centers currently. Put it there. What about the sales? Put a smaller pin there. Okay, and says okay. So this region, who lives here? Who are the people that live here? Say, oh, is that Islamic? Okay, all right. So what about this? What about this? Is this a secondary school? Yes. Is it boarding? No, is it male and female? Is male? Oh, what about this school? Oh, okay. So this, all right. Okay, so we are doing a secondary school campaign. And we will use those students to enter into those areas where you say, can I enter? Wisdom. I told you what wisdom is last week, right? Ability to what? To solve challenges, take away challenges. That's wisdom. It's seen in fruits. Works. So some of us are trusting for deep ministerial wisdom. Some operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Some are trusting God for an unusual church planting grace. An unusual what? Church planting grace. Unusual. We sent it to Gbomosho in 1 year. You are making us to doubt. We are doubting that you are doing it rightly. Only that we don't have any complaints. So we are wondering. Because you got there and in a year we have about 15 cells. How? How are you doing it? And the cells has workers and strong leaders, and they are well behaved, and the world is taught, and we are not using food and all of those things to attract people. Then we say, oh, that sister should go to Ondo. We heard that Ondo has been giving us problem. Let sister so and so go to Ondo. Then we say, when you get to Ondo, don't bother about accommodation. Don't bother. We will supply everything. This one. Then you get to Undo. The first 2-3 months, a teaching cell, outreach teaching and praying cell is already running. Wow. 5-6 people are ready to go to the work membership class. Wow. In 6 months, you have a cell with 3-5 workers. Within 1 year, the cell has become 2. The second year, you now have 5 cells of 10 people, 50. The third year, the 50 has become 150. What are you doing it? That is church planting. That means there's something people see around you that makes them just want to follow you. They might not understand what you are saying, but they just say, this is the person I should be following. And I'm not talking about charisma. They just look at you and say, you look like somebody who should be my pastor. I'm going to do anything you say. I might not understand all you are saying now, but I know you are right, sir. I'll follow. You know, Jesus moved with that grace.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Jesus moved with that grace. Nobody told Jesus it is too difficult. They only said, I like it, but let me go. And Jesus said, no, even that one is not permitted. But he didn't say it is too difficult. I mean, his disciples. Except for few, of course. You find this, who is this guy that became Barnabas? Who is this Barnabas? The rich young ruler. Rather. The rich young ruler. You know, Barnabas was not his name. Yeah. The apostle saw named him.
Barnabas. He said, ah, this is a strong teacher. He went. Later he what? Came back. Is the church planting in Greece? It's not in how you dress or you use your Jericho or wearing of a white suit or wearing of exotic shoes. No. It's a grace. Now this is where I'm going. How shocking will it be to you? Or is it amazing as it is? If you now find out that many of these things you are looking for in your own life, but is tied to the focus level of your pastor. To show you that what you are looking for is not in a distant nation. Some of you think that, you have to go to a particular man of God to have some answer. I used to think foolishly that way before. That, I have to go to one powerful man of God and he will lay his hands on me. I only needed to work on my pastor's focus level to become reasons why he's more focused. Because that is the order, that is the structure that Jesus has put in place. Especially when you are following your pioneering pastor. It is in the pioneering pastor. It is in him. It is in him. It is in the pioneering pastor. I didn't even say the pastor of your local assembly, even though, yeah, sure. But it is in your pioneering pastor. What we call, the person we call the GO of the ministry, the founder of the ministry, it is in that person. You know how God does it? When God calls a man, he takes him through a whole lot of journey, and then he brings him into the call. What God does is that, because you can't manifest all the graces. You can't. The various ingredients that God has put in you to make you you as a pioneering pastor, you cannot fully exploit. If you try to fully exploit, you might go before your time. He takes a portion of it, he gives to somebody right under your ministry. That one is observed to have that great grace maximally. He takes another portion, he gives to another. He takes another portion, he gives to another. So in the real sense of it, by the time you look at usually the first set of leaders, you see distinct ministries. And as that, they must not compete. You just see that this one is unique, this one is different, this one, you see various grace. They are all packaged in that same man. But that's the way God does it. That's the way God does it. That's the way God does it. Many times we frustrate it by being naive or by being immature, being competitive. No. A very good example is that you are not to do it so that you can be chiefest amongst. No. Whatever is given to you, you are to fan it to flame. I'll be talking about that later in the year. I already said, when we look at teaching the Spirit, gifts and callings, I'll talk about that a lot. A lot. Talk about that. So, how amazing it is that those things I am looking for is simply a tie. See, let me tell you something. Look at this. Look at this. Look at me. This doesn't mean that you should not pray. This is a workforce. I can tell you something. This doesn't mean you should not pray. Some things you are praying for is in my hands. I didn't say to grant you by the putting on of hands. And it does not replace prayer.
Because it doesn't even mean that you should pray less, even if those things have been ministered. And it doesn't mean I'm the Alpha and the Omega of that day. See, God is working. Some things that are desired, ministry virtues, ministry virtues, graces. Some of us, the way it works is this: we already have seeds of it. Seeds. Now, the pastor is to have open eyes to recognize callings and giftings. Because obviously, all will disciple, but not all will lead. Of all that we lead, not all will pastor. Of all that will pastor, even though that leading is also a form of pastoring, but not all will pastor in the sense of being in charge of large congregations. And not all that pastor would pioneer. There are giftings. There are callings. Are we together? So many times, when you found yourself in a ministry, you see, the way God wants you to see is that many of the things you intensely desire to walk in your ministry, to walk, except you are not in that ministry, or you are not in for that ministry. If it is for that work, and you are in that work, many of the things you are desiring to flow in your ministry, are you with me, is present in the same man. When your desire is of the Holy Ghost, He will stir up desires in you to fulfill part of what He has called the ministry of that man to carry out. So, a pastor's eyes must be open to see seeds. So, look at what he does, or she does. The moment he spots seeds in you, he puts deposits. He makes deposits of that grace in that fellow in whom the seed has been what? Has been spotted. Which is completely different from the deposit he will put in another fellow, the same man, that another seed has been spotted. Which is very different from the deposit he will give in another one, which kind different kind of seed has been spotted. So the pastor, he puts those seeds there. So he puts those grace, he makes those deposits there, tantamount to the seeds that he has spotted. He has spotted. So look at me everyone. You will now observe that, look at this, the place of your prayer is for you to make use of what is given to all, so that the seed within can be spotted. The moment he spots the seed, your personal private devotion, an engagement of what is generally given, is to bring out the kind of seeds. So he knows what deposits to make there. Then you begin to flow. Because in a local assembly, and let me tell you something, I remember some years ago that a friend of mine, who also pastors the church in Ibadan, we had gone to a particular meeting, and then we now, I think it was after the meeting also. Yeah, it was after the meeting. So we I think that friend of mine was just very, just, he would go to meet one of the pastors of the church. He said, "Why don't you invite other people to preach in your church?" Well, they do. They do, but we I think we're just very silly then. We're very silly. So he goes and says, why don't you invite? So the response that other person now gave was now shocking to him. Well, I can't say that I agreed fully with that fellow then. That's the response the pastor gave. I can't say I agree fully. But the reason why I agree fully. But then I didn't know as much as I felt he knew to have given that response. But I partly agreed with what he had to say. I knew there was a lot of truth in what he had to say. I wasn't in that conversation. The friend of mine got back to me and gave me the response he gave. And he gave me the response he gave, mocking at him. That why would someone say something silly as this? But when he told me all he said, in my heart, I believed, but not fully, because I didn't have the knowledge. But now I clearly understand. He was like, why don't you invite other people, like bring the mission of a prophet to your church? So the fellow simply responded and said, we have all we need here. We have what we need here. In terms of ministry gifts, he says, we have what we need here. So I didn't really agree, though I knew there was an element of truth. But the truth of the matter is that a local assembly, what people call denomination. Now, when I say local assembly, get it. A branch of a church is a local assembly. But I can also use local assembly for a whole ministry. For example, if we talk about Redeemed Christian Church of God, I can say that the Redeemed Christian Church of God on the street there is a local assembly. And so the pastor there is a local church pastor. And that's fine. But I can also call the entire Redeemed Christian ministry, are we together? That has a worldwide physical presence, I can also call the whole Redeemed a local assembly. And I can call Pastor E. Adeboye the pastor of that assembly. Is it clear? So we can have the local assembly and their assemblies. You must understand what I'm saying. Is it clear? So now, obviously, the general pastor, are we together? The general pastor, and hey, I think I just wait till when I'll teach you this thing so that you don't get confused, which I don't really think I'm saying anything complex. There is the pioneering pastor, there is the person they call general superintendent or the general overseer. Now, you know, there is such a thing as the pioneering pastor having gone to be with the Lord, right? And then they hand over to somebody else, right? So, for example, now, if I say pioneering pastor, I'm not even referring to Pastor Adeboye. I'm referring to Parking Diomi. The person that digs the well of the ministry and plants it. Even though the person to relate with now as the Parking Diomi is the Pastor Adeboye. He is doing exactly, I plan to make mention of him when we talk about faithfulness. He is doing exactly. In fact, some people came to Pastor Adeboye some months ago and were saying that we could have done this and done this and done this and done this. And he now said, he told them, he said about 15 to 20 years ago, some people came to suggest the same. But he said the reason why he never adopted those beautiful styles was because he and Parking Diomi never had that agreement. He said he has made up his mind that no matter how beautiful the option is to explore, he will never do anything that he and Parking Diomi did not discuss. I want God bless such a man. So, put it aside. So when I say a pioneering pastor, you must know the difference between a pioneering pastor and maybe the current overseeing pastor, and different from whom I call the local church pastor in some context. Are we together? Alright. So, you see, he then recognizes the seeds and makes deposits. Part of the deposit is this. Look at this. Part of the deposit is choosing what role you play in the ministry. He chooses. That's part of the deposit. That's part of how he makes deposits. He puts things inside. He exposes you to activities that will make it to flow, to bring it out full fledged. For example, some will now say, stay in the music team. For some will say, let this person be responsible for all of our international ministries. That's the grace for him, foreign works. Interestingly, we are going to have people who can speak diverse languages, and they are not in that ministry. Because a leader must not put people in place based on their skills. We can ask them to help out in an area based on their skills, but when it comes to responsibility, it is based on grace. Are you listening to me? It's based on grace, responsibility. So what happens is that, and that's, observe that, look at this, observe that this same thing that is happening with every believer is also happening with ministries. I told you this, for example, that what our sticking to acting on the word, obeying the leading of the Spirit, and praying will do as a church is that it will help us to discover what? Discover what? So look at this. When you give what is general, as people engage the general supply, they find, they discover their places in the same body. For example, as I'm talking to us right now, I'm not oblivious that not everybody here is the same. Everyone here are not the same. There are some of us here who have the grace to plant new works. Now, interestingly, I don't know why I'm going this direction tonight, but interestingly, all might plant, but the grace to plant is given primarily to some. Now, why is grace given? Explains the reason why all might plant. Because grace is given for who? Grace is not given to all, but it is given for all. Is it clear? Is it clear? So look at me. Come back to what I said earlier. The pastor spots the grace in you. What does he do? What's the next thing he does? Huh? So he begins to work. Now, let me tell you something. Look at me. Making deposits can take 10 years. Because it's, that deposit is what we call training. Elisha, look at me, everybody. Will I be right if I said Elisha knew how to use the mantle before he got the mantle? Yes or no? Thank you. He knew how to use the office before what? He got the office. How did you know how to use the office? Through training and serving. There's a lot of things you're young on your ministry. A lot of things. So, the making of that deposit can take what? Yes. Because look at this. What is the deposit? Look at me. Deposit. Are you listening to me? A seed is spotted where? In someone. Are we together? Then look at the deposit. The deposit is that I begin to shed off the grace little by little into this person. The same grace that me, I'm digging deeper into. The more I unfound that grace, it is meant to be working here. I put it there more. I put it here more. I put it here more. The more I, because the man is a fountain, though by the Spirit. As he digs out the oil, So it's like one in one vessel, in one fountain, you have like 50 kinds of oils coming out. He knows which vessel is meant for each oil. So he consistently does that over the years. Sometimes that is why followership is lifelong. Some of these things I'm saying, I know you might not get it. So the more deposits are made, the more the receiver or the recipients of those deposits are able to function effectively. Now, obviously, what is the place of my own private devotion? To fan, to flame the what? Those deposits. See, those deposits are what we call the gifts of God. To stir it up. Definitely, whatever Timothy had received from Paul was not a one-time gift. Yet it tells him to stir it up. It wasn't a one-time gift. He will always take advantage of moments of laying on of hands to receive more. Moments of serving to receive more. Moments of utterances to receive more. Opportunities of followership to receive more. Are we together? Whatsoever Timothy had received was not received once. At the time, he told him, the gift in you, keep by the Holy Ghost. At the time, he tells him to see what was given by laying on it. At the time, he says to the girl of the need of God from the presbytery. That's completely different from the Acts 16 case. We see multiple laying on men of folks at the church at Ephesus also. So you see, the receiving is not once. But it must be compounded. It must be something that is being compounded. It is not once, but it is being received in a compounded fashion. It is getting thicker, getting stronger, becoming plentier. So let me go back to what I was saying. He sees the grace, then he begins to work. Now, sometimes people can be in church, and as a pastor, you don't yet know. Two things. The not knowing yet could be because the person has not been in church for long enough. So you are being careful and you are being observant. Secondly, it could just be because that person does not take advantage of the training given. Because until the person uses all of the training given, there can't be a discerning of the gift inside. So you will observe that his journey or our journey in the church is slow. Why? Because the pastor is spirit filled. He takes his time to spot. Sometimes we'll tell the fellow, get busy here for now. He joins the workforce, go to this place for now. And the pastor is observed. One of the greatest song ministers of the ministry can be in the technical. See, we're able to see. We'll just see. Alright. We will need you here now. Somewhere in the ocean, you are going to be in charge of all the publications of the ministry. He doesn't move to media team. He serves in that unit. However, the entire work when it comes to publications is resting on his shoulder. So he is pastor in charge of. That other one is pastor in charge of. This other one, he says, let this one be in charge of everything that has to do with soul winning, evangelism, missionary work. Just give that one to this one. He is able to call the nations out of darkness. Give songs to that one.
give songs to him. Just give him songs. With him, the songs ministry of the whole ministry will be fine. In fact, that one, these four, give them songs. What about this one? See, when it comes to welfare, health of all of our workers, just give it to him. Worldwide. It's an office. Worldwide, just give it to him. That's an office. And there are offices like that. And new things have been birthed. Oh, anytime. Women in ministry. Please give it to that sister. I'm not saying he's in charge of pastors. Anything that has to do with our women pastors. See, just allow him to be attending. Allow her to be attending. Everyone will be under their pastors. But anytime it seems as though one of our ladies that are pastor in the place is having a challenge, any concern when it comes to our pastors and their women, just give it to that. Just give it to that sister. It's a grace. And that is how an entire ministry's what is built. Interestingly, you will know. It's only the people inside that will know. People just have those graces. He's just able to, anytime we're having difficult, because the pastor cannot do all that. His work is to dig deeper into the wells of graces and to minister it. How does he do it? Two things. He ministers by the teaching of his word. When I come to the pulpit and I pick the Bible, you will see how what is in you works. And you can't see it in your personal Bible study. That's my own work. That's my own grace. And the songs ministry is not my grace as the pastor. But there's somebody else in the church. And then me, I'm able to come with God's word and explain the scripture such that the songs graces in our church is boom, amplified. That is my own grace. That's my own grace. Then we say, oh, this person, when it comes to works, projects, works, give it to him. We say, this fellow has an unusual grace with solving ministerial challenges around primary and secondary schools. A fool. Whatever he does around it is fine. Our work is just to pray and ensure he has resources. That is grace. Secondary schools, young fellows. Some other people will say, this person is just children. Give it to him. That's grace. That is how large ministries are built. That's how large ministries are built. It's not like Pastor handling everything. Though he trains, he sports, he administers, and he grooms. He makes deposit and he grooms. Sometimes to be able to do that, the pioneering pastor will go on the 100 days fast. And that is not your responsibility. That's his own journey with the Lord. That no two people can walk, only him and the Lord, and he goes on 100 days daily fast with rigorous prayers. Sometimes that is the price he needs to pay to be able to spot and to make effective deposits. When his focus is affected, you are always wasting your time. You're wasting your time. I spoke last week about the team. That is how team works. So how, where is the place of my own personal devotion? Where is my place of personal devotion? What if I pray and I fast? Can God not use me? See, as you engage what is commonly given in resources and instructions, you engage resources commonly given, and you engage the instructions commonly given, sometimes personally or privately given you by the same leadership, what you are doing is that you are making the grace of God which is in you, or what you are called out for, to be so clear. So that by the Holy Ghost, we can make more deposits and call out what is within and hear this clearly. As that happens, we can also then assign such ministry duties to you. Interestingly, you don't have to be in your 30s to work in this. You don't have to be. 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 And that is how God builds assemblies. That's how God builds assemblies. That's how God builds assemblies. We also have people who have graces of healings. Like I said, the grace is for all. That means you can receive a grace from somebody. But you are going to just observe that in this area, this person does it in an effortless fashion. Oh, me, even though I can take from it also. It's also for you. You can go and receive, and that thing will be working in your ministry. But you will know that the reason why he is working in the body is because it came from that's the fountain it came out from. It will come out from there, even though it can be received by all. So there are things in everyone in the assembly that are meant to come into the assembly from you. And that thing, interestingly, is not even for you. It's for the assembly. It's for the assembly. It's not for you. You are the source of it. By the Holy Ghost, you are the source of it, but it is coming into the assembly. So when we instruct on personal prayers, fasting, meditating on the word, being full of the Spirit, confession, faith, what is it that we are teaching in the church? All of those resources, all of them plenty, they are a compendium of tools for you to use to open up the fountains for us to see what is there. Because you cannot help yourself. You cannot. You can't. You can't help yourself. That's why when someone is proud, someone is envious, someone is baitful, someone is... You see, all of those things, on the only of any, like you block a tap. We can't see what is there. You have to wash it, clean it. By personal devotion, spiritual exercises, the moment we spot, we then know what deposits to make and what training to give, because it is that area you fit in the work of God, which must go into all the world. And there are diverse graces. Interestingly, I say again, interestingly, the Lord is pioneering new things in his body that people have not seen before. For example, someone will just have a grace to deal with all these transgender issues. He just has wisdom around it. He just has wisdom around it. And yet, it ought to be wisdom, grace for all. I mean, for example, we can say, every pastor of a local, in fact, every cell leader should be able to deal with atheism and all of that. But you just have grace. You will see people amongst us who just have special graces for Muslims. And that you will even see the pastor. He just has it. People of other religions, he just has it. He just has it. Now, the thing will flow with all we eventually contact, but it will work in an unusual measure with him. There are some other people that God has just called them, that their work is impartation. Just impart. They are able to pick things from one man of God and give to another man of God. And that's what God uses them for. You will not even see it work with them. But you observe that when they lay hands on you, that's entire working.
And he is like that in the ministry, in the local assembly. There are people like that. God uses them for transference of graces. Transference. Because supernaturally, he is just a very unusual receiver and is an excellent dispenser. So he need not even need that grace to resolve things in his ministry at that time. But he has it. It's like a carrier. You know, carrier in science. You see an organism who is not affected or shows the signs of something. But he has it. He only needs to contact another organism and he will transmit it. It will now begin to affect that organism. And it doesn't affect the one that transmitted it. It's like saying mosquito has malaria. Mosquito is a carrier of malaria. Mosquito does not die of malaria. But he transmits it and gives it. There are people like that in the body. Their life is fine, don't get me wrong. They are excellently doing well. They are serving God in their own graces. But look at this. The Lord just used them to pick things. In the same church, they pick the minister. So, they might not necessarily even see conditions in their life that they need to resolve with that gift, but it is there. The moment there's somebody that needs that grace, they minister it. Because they're able to pick it and dispense. And there are various graces in the assembly. There are various graces. There are people who will have the grace to just talk politicians, wealthy people, people that are far away from being rich through evangelism. They have the grace of reaching them and getting them into the church. How do you do it? They can't say. They just know. They just know how to meet a wealthy person, somebody that the natural inclination is pride based on their resources or exposure and all of that. People that are far, people that on a normal day, you might not even be able to strike conversations with them. And they just have the ability to just walk up and have that conversation and then spark up the fire of the gospel and then begin to disciple them. They just have the grace to disciple powerful, powerful, powerful people. And the local church pastor might not, because his work is to bring God's word on a daily basis. And that is how the ministry works. Some people's graces is in making material resources available. There's such grace also. As I said, there are general instructions. There's a general grace to work with. But you observe unusually it works with this one. This one just has an unusual ability to put the money down. For such people, resources are never scarce to them because of the grace. That's what some people don't understand. They say that when you sow to me, that you will get. Mm-mm. People that were giving to them so much that is now started building a duct in that area. They were people who had the grace of giving. It's always okay. It's just natural. Or it's supernatural, but that's just who they are. So that's the only one. There is a way to the account is filled again. And they know they don't struggle with it. They can empty it the following day. So it is grace working. And God does that in the assemblies. To build his work, to build his ministry. I'll close here tonight with this. I said that we must get priorities, parameters right. We must get what? Parameters right. You see, one of the greatest challenges of a young minister will be to put yourself under pressure. Look at me, everybody.
Don't put yourself under pressure. Find out God's plan. Walk in it. Some of you needs to take 1 hour every day to pray about your decisions and opportunities in the natural. Rather than 10 hours planning, what after 6 months? You didn't up. You didn't execute. Some of us rack our brain. Plan, rack our brain. You are forgetting you are a minister of the gospel. You have forgotten your means of the gospel. So some of us are like, I will do this. I'm looking for which of the fields in my career should I follow? Should I do this? Should I do that one? Some people told me, says, sir, I have the ability to do anything. I say, I know exactly what you are saying because I'm just like that. But the moment you discover, or the more you discover, that you have a natural inclination to engage anything and do well at it, the more cautious you should be. Because you are likely going to waste more of your own time than somebody who has recognized that he has limitations. Your natural human strength becomes your vulnerability and a greater need to be led of God. I know, I'm just someone like that. There's nothing I set my heart to, I'll do it. If you bring me into finance, I just need knowledge. And maybe somebody to just put me through. I'll do it. If you bring me into business, I'll do it. If you bring me into health, I'll do it. If you bring me into fashion, I will do it. If you bring me into tech, I will do it. If you bring me into business, I will do it. There's nothing I will not do. There's nothing I can't do. But it therefore becomes a weak point. Because you are likely going to waste time, energy, resources because of your versatility. The need for you to then be led of God. More so, you are a minister of the gospel. 1 hour every day praying in the Holy Ghost about what you should do in the natural. What you should do about opportunities. Opportunities. Divine opportunities. Divine opportunities. Some of you, the opportunity is that a job opening will come to you in a city far from here. I will know. And then will tell you to go. Because your own opportunities will be to open up more grounds for the gospel. Interestingly, look at this. For some of us, the concern is not gospel in another city. The concern is gospel for another kind of people, which then led to it in another city. God is asking us to open the door, for it could be people who speak a particular language, which obviously they are in a geographic region, which now leads to you going to that geographic region. But we must pray divine opportunities. Divine opportunities. Divine opportunities. Because you are a minister of the gospel. And you are praying. If you are praying and you are fasting, and hands are laid on you, and many people are expressing their desires towards you being strong in the Lord, the least that the Lord can do is to shut doors that are not his own. And to open up doors that are his own. I think one of the things we will do right from this coming month is to take 1 hour daily and pray for the natural. The natural. For the natural. Your heart is going to be steered by the Spirit of God to focus on certain areas. It doesn't mean there will not be challenges, but it simply means that is the area the Lord wants to resolve your challenges for. If you go into another area, you will face challenges equal,
But the Lord is not set to resort to sort challenges in that area. He knows you always face challenges, but this is the area He wants you to work in. Some of those engagements will open doors of nations. Some of them will open doors of tribes, cities. Some of them will open doors of campuses. So we are going to take, don't make it mechanical. Don't go on your knees because somebody is going on his knees. Don't make it mechanical. Let it be the response we have. So we are going to pray. You must be weary of being led by natural circumstances, even though we take initiatives for the gospel by exploring natural circumstances. But you must be weary of being led. I told some of you on NYC. I said, be patient. Somebody I told to be patient has left. Somebody I told to be patient in this workforce has left. Be patient. See, in a ministry like ours, you need to be retrained, though. Everybody here, your goal should be in following me. Except you are not on the same team with me. Your goal should be in working with me. As I said, primarily, and it's for your own good, not because of benefits for me. You do everything possible to make sure I am focused. Churches that don't have any serious thing they are building, don't prioritize leading of the Spirit, do not see that corporate work of the Holy Ghost, who won't talk like this? And if you talk like this, it will be for selfish reasons. But your work primarily, every member, every leader rather, every worker, every leader, your work primarily is to ensure I am more focused. That means when responsibilities are given to you, you handle it with a common mindedness, a corporate Holy Ghost vision, in such a way that pastor has little complaint. The way I handle the responsibility does not become distraction to pastor. The way I live my life did not become distraction to pastor. The relationships, the engagements does not become distraction. Because hear me clearly, there's a leading of the Spirit in this church. There's a leading of the Spirit in this church. God is leading us. So get that. Let's not complain about yourself from the way you're handling it. Sometimes the reason to come and meet me and have conversation is so that meeting with me will give you more wisdom in your personal life and responsibility, which will in turn help me to focus on my own primary duty, because there will no more be distractions from your poor hand. Sometimes that is the reason for accountability. To be accountable for your actions, seek necessary permissions, and engage in what you are instructed to do with detailed, diligent reporting, because you don't want anything you are doing to be a distraction to your pastor. Your cell leaders too, of course. So it's a team we're building here. It's important we get our parameters right. Get our parameters right. It's important no one here buckles or falls under pressure. Let me say what I usually say again. Every need is going to be met. Sisters, hear me clearly. You are going to get married. There is nobody here that should be pressured. Will I get married? Will I get married? You are going to get married. The day we brothers, you are going to get good sisters. The sisters in our church are great women. Let me talk about money. Your resources are going to come. Your needs are going to be met. Whatever is in your hands currently to do, either for money directly or indirectly, which then bring you money, is an opportunity. Some of you, the current work you are taking might not really pay all of your bills, but you are gaining an experience that will be the only thing that will make sense in getting the next opportunity.
Do it well.
When it comes to relationships, handle your affairs well. Handle your affairs well. Don't be led astray, lured away by relationships. Don't be. You are building something. Don't let strange guys outside church, maybe in church too, but don't let strange guys talk sweet things into your ears. Sister, don't lose your sanity. Brother should not follow strange women. I'm saying this because we are very young and we have such tendencies. Don't. Regarding relationships, friends that you can't prove, you have not proven well. Friends that you have not proven well. Friends that you have not proven well. Do not commit to them. Don't seek life counsels from people who are not involved in ministry. It's the same things. You are building something. You are a builder. You are a builder. In fact, that was part of the prayers we led tonight. You are a builder. See, the Holy Ghost can't talk to anybody clearer than I am talking now. There is no clearer way to hear God than the way you are hearing me now. Jesus said, about Abraham talking to the rich man, they have the prophet and the law. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. If they do not hear them, they will not listen, even if a man be raised from the dead. Pay attention. Lastly, focus on what God is doing in your life currently. Everybody here must be able to say, this is what God is doing in me currently. There are graces in our church. We are not going to corrupt it. We are not going to lose out on any grace. We said last December that 2025 is a season of raising more leaders. And we prayed for 100% worker into leadership. We said 100% workers into assisting functions. Assisting functions 100% into cell leadership. Cell leadership 100% into church leadership. We also prayed for 100% membership into workforce, where not one is lost, but everybody scales into the next plan of Jesus for them in the assembly. In the assembly, we called it the year of supernatural growth ministry. We called it the year of gifts and giftings, where the gifts and callings of God are clear to each person. Everyone here under the sound of my voice should be able to tell, this is what God is doing with me now. If you cannot tell that this is what God is doing with you now, if you cannot tell that this is the current leading of the Spirit for you now, if you cannot tell that it is in this area that the Lord is asking me to get better, if you can't tell categorically that it is this area that God is asking me to watch, to get better at, if you cannot tell currently that the Lord is asking me to do better, to pay attention to this aspect of my life and my ministry. I'm sorry, you are wasting your time. And I counsel you to cease such wastage. So deploy your time to pray. So thus, I'm not able to talk about faithfulness again tonight, but I've brought to us the word of the Lord. It's a season of sights and visions and the gifts of the Spirit for us as a church. It's a moment of sights, visions, and the gifts of the Spirit. You don't have to kneel down. If you want to kneel down, it's fine. It's a season of seeing and hearing. The very first thing you are going to see and hear, you will see and hear about yourself. You will see and hear about yourself. What will that birth? It will birth a strong sense of identity and conviction in the same. A strong sense of identity. Because you will see and know who you are. Not just as a believer, not just as a minister of the gospel. What have you been called to minister specially? I know you are a Christian. I know you are strong and strengthening your church. I know you are a worker in your church. You are a worker in church. I know you are assisting your cell leadership. I know you are teaching the word. I know you are a minister of the word. I know you minister the word. What is the grace of God at work in your life? What special things have you been called to minister by the Holy Ghost? As we unfound and find the graces of God amongst us, our ministry, the world-life believers come to church, we will be able to do greater things for the Lord. We will also be helped to stay our focus on the things which matter. Attend to the things in your life with such distinct focus as you pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 In the morning, pray in the Holy Ghost. Before decisions, pray in the Holy Ghost. In the afternoon time, pray in the Holy Ghost. About to sleep, pray in the Holy Ghost. When you wake up, pray in the Holy Ghost. When you are bored, pray in the Holy Ghost. When you forget that you are praying in the Holy Ghost, when you remember, pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Let your decisions be scrutinized in the lenses of the Spirit. Let it be scrutinized with the sieve. Sieve it. Pray about the natural. Pray a lot about the natural. 1 hour minimum every day. 1 hour minimum every day. 1 hour. 1 hour minimum every day. 1 hour. If you have 6 areas in the natural that you are thinking of going into, pen down those 6 areas and take 1 hour to pray about them. After a while, your heart will settle on one. Either because you see it in a vision, or a dream of the night, or a word of prophecy will come to you about it, or you will find resources coming to you, and that resource will be so peculiar, unique, that it will only resolve that area. Something will happen. A sign will come to you after about a month of praying. So you can use 1 month to save 10 years. You can use 1 month. You can use 30 hours. 30 hours. 30 unbroken hours. 30 undistracted hours. 30 undistracted hours. 30 unbroken hours. 30 undistracted hours. 30 unbroken hours. You can use it to dig out 10 years. 1 hour per day for 30 days. Unbroken. No day is broken. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 15, day 25, day Day 27, day 29, day 30. A whole month of one-hour prayer at times of the day that you choose. It might be the same time, it might be different times, but you pick times and then you go out and then you focus on praying. That's not a prayer to pray when you are using your WhatsApp. It's not a prayer to pray when you are chatting. It's not a prayer to pray even when you are listening to teachings. It is not a prayer to pray even though when you have prayed, the answer might come in the teaching you listen to. But that's a prayer to pray in solitude, alone. It is not even for prayer work. Go somewhere. 30 minutes twice is 1 hour. 15 minutes four times is 1 hour. 20 minutes three times is 1 hour. 30 unbroken hours. You can use it to draw out direction. Direction for 5 years. Direction for 10 years. Direction for 20 years. You can save the days, the weeks, the months, and the years ahead by simply taking consistent times to pray. The best time to act on an instruction is when the instruction comes to you, because that is when the grace is so much available. Before the grace wanes out, before the grace shifts, you can be sure that words like these are not visiting an assembly alone. God visits different assemblies with the same word, looking for who will heed. There is also no doubt that we are not the first assembly in this city getting this word I'm speaking tonight. Maybe many have not heeded. Maybe many have not heeded. The Lord looks for an assembly of people and empowers them together with His grace, with His power. So, if you have been able to trap every word that I've spoken this morning, it is good. You're able to listen to them. You're able to take time on them to pray, to wait on the Lord, and more importantly, to act on it. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Grateful for the ministry of your word. Thank you for the word of wisdom tonight. Issue of the words of wisdom, the last one to house. We're grateful for strength in our hearts, that inner desire that we have to do your will. We're grateful. We then thank you for strength in our minds, strength of will, in our body, energy to act on your word. Lord, we embrace your word in our hearts. We ask that they will become the fuel with which we run. They will become the feet with which we walk. They will become the light with which we see. They will become the voice with which we speak. The vision with which we see. Your words will become the mule upon which we journey. The energy upon which we ride. We ask that your word will become the wisdom upon which we live. It will become counsel from where we take life lessons. We ask that by your spirit, and in that which is called the ministry of angels, you will help us to bear fruits in all that we have received. In the last couple of minutes and half, these we ask and receive in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen.